And now we will have our guest speaker, and that's Kurt. So take it away, Kurt.
Okay, well, thank you everybody for letting me speak with you tonight. My name's Kurt. I've been coming to the Blue Lotus for about 4 years. You know, when they asked me to do this talk, they kind of give you some guidelines. One suggestion is that you kind of tell your story. You know, what brings you here? What brought you here? And I thought about that, and it's a really boring story. I lived it, so I know. But so I thought I'd make up a story instead. And it's about discernment and discernment of truth. And I'm studying to be a chaplain, and my approach to truth is that I'm kind of a vulture for I take my meals wherever I can get it. I don't care if it comes from Christianity, Islam, Buddhism, or secular sources. It doesn't matter to me. Truth is truth. So that's kind of what this is about. And the story that I wrote, even though it's made up, it does kind of, I think, reflect my journey. So this is a story about a boy. He came from a distant land where it was cold, barren, and desolate. One day after moving here, he heard a group of children talking excitedly about something one of them had seen. A young girl was telling the other children that she'd seen something wonderful called a cardinal. The young boy had never seen a cardinal and had no idea what this thing could be. When he asked the little girl about it, she said it would be better just to show him. So they went off into the woods in search of this mystery. The little boy followed the little girl into the woods and asked what he should be looking for. Knowing that he had never seen a cardinal or maybe even a bird, she says, well, it's a beautiful bright red in color. They walked on for a bit, and suddenly the girl spots a cardinal flying between the branches of a tree and points her finger and yells excitedly, there it is. The boy looks incredulously at her and says, your finger? We came all the way out here so you could show me your finger. No, silly, replied the girl in frustration. I was pointing to the cardinal, but it's too late. You missed it. The boy and girl continue deeper into the woods, and the boy spots something red and excitedly points and says, there, is that red clump over there a cardinal? No, responds the girl. Those are just berries, but the cardinal eats them, so we must be getting close. The boy is starting to think this is all a joke, but decides he'll continue on for a little longer. They go even deeper into the woods, and the girl points to a tangle of twigs in a tree and says, see that? That's a nest. That's where the cardinal sleeps. The boy looks but wonders what kind of creature would find a tangle of twigs a comfortable place to sleep. He's almost certain he's the butt of some kind of joke and thinks he should just quit and go home. But he decides, since he's invested this much time, he'd just keep going in case the girl might be telling the truth. After walking a while more, the girl shouts, there, pointing into the trees. The boy looked and saw a flash of red before whatever it was disappeared into the trees. He couldn't make out what it was now, but he knew that whatever it was, that this cardinal must be real. After searching all afternoon, the boy was starting to get tired and hungry. The sun was beginning to set, and he just wanted to go home. He believed the girl that this cardinal, whatever it was, existed, but he was sure he would never find it. Just then, the most beautiful red bird he had ever seen landed on a branch not more than 20 feet from him. The girl whispered and pointed, see, that's a cardinal. The little boy couldn't believe his eyes. He'd seen many birds before, so in this way it was completely ordinary. Yet he had never seen one quite like this, which made it quite extraordinary. But what was even more special was that now he knew what it was, how to find it, and if he ever wanted to experience his beauty again. The little girl had guided him through the woods, showed him what the cardinal ate, where it nested, and pointed to as it darted from branch to branch until he was finally able to see it for himself. Now he could come back here any time he chose, and although he no longer needed a guide, he would be forever grateful for the little girl who helped him show the way. So our practice and religion in general are kind of like the little girl in the story. They're guides that point to the truth, but they're not the truth itself, just as the little girl's finger was not the cardinal she was pointing at. Religions, faith traditions, and spiritual practices are like languages. They are symbolic devices that allow us to search for truth together. Just like words allow us to talk about and share our experience of the world together, but they should not be mistaken as the world itself. Just as there are many different dialects of languages, there are many different paths to seeking the truth. Just because I may call tall, leafy things trees doesn't mean that calling them arbolists is any less legitimate. When one begins to mistake their language as reality or their spiritual path as truth, for which they're seeking, they lose sight of what it was that they were searching for in the first place. Yet at the same time, these devices still serve a valuable purpose. They are guides that help us find our way through the maze of life, and perhaps most importantly, they allow us to do it together. If the little girl in the story represents our spiritual practice, then what does the cardinal represent? What is it that we're searching for? Some might say God, others might say enlightenment, still others might just be looking for some meaning in their life. But these are just more words, and no word or concept can capture the truth. They're just more pointers. In Kabbalah, the mystical tradition within Judaism, the term Ein Sof translates as the infinite, and it's depicted as the ultimate source and origin of all existence. It is beyond attributes, definitions, or limitations. Ein Sof permeates all creation and sustains the universe. Kabbalists meditate on Ein Sof to connect with the divine essence and seek deeper understanding of the mysteries of existence. Ein Sof is the essence of God before God takes on the identity of God. It is profoundly simple because it is a singularity. There is no difference. There is no differentiation because there is nothing else. And it is only when Ein Sof manifests as God that the possibility of plurality comes into play and hence makes creation possible. Ultimate unity, oneness. Does that sound familiar to anybody here? In Buddhism, we call this Buddha nature, the isness in which life occurs, the ground of being that's too simple, too fundamental, yet at the same time too vast to be expressed or captured in words or concepts. And we experience it directly in every moment because it's what we are. When the boy finally sees the cardinal, he's both amazed at its beauty, but also surprised that this great mystery turned out to be nothing more than an ordinary bird. God, consciousness, Buddha nature, or truth is like this too. It is both awe-inspiring yet profoundly humble. It is the ground of being, the canvas on which the Mona Lisa is painted. It goes unnoticed, but the grandeur of reality ceases to exist without it. It's so difficult to find because it's so fundamental to reality. It's like the screen the movie plays on. We forget it's there because we're so engrossed in the movie. But no matter how many frames flash before our eyes, the screen remains unchanged. Let me see if I can give you an example that maybe we can all relate to in our own lives. When you look at old childhood photos and remember all the fun and silly things you did as a child, you know you are not the same person you were all those years ago. You've changed physically, psychologically, emotionally, countless other ways, yet there's still something that makes that little kid in the picture the same person that's sitting here tonight. When we meditate, what do we notice? Sounds, smells, various physical sensations. We also notice our own thoughts and emotions. But what do all these physical, mental, emotional experiences have in common? We're present for and consciously aware of them all. That conscious awareness or sense of presence is the ground of experience. It always has been, always will be, and it has never changed. It's the same now as it was when you were that little kid. It is undifferentiated, and it is fundamental. It is the Ein Sof, our Buddha nature, the Holy Spirit, or cosmic consciousness. But the words don't really matter, because they all just point to something that can't be put into a conceptual box. But it can be experienced. It's the peaceful, silent stillness that you experience in meditation. You're turning that vast, ancient, eternal mirror back in on itself. and you experience the infinite. It becomes a sort of cosmic nesting doll. You notice the awareness that is always present in everything you experience, and then you notice that you are aware of that awareness and present to that sense of presence, and on it goes. And the sense of unity that arises from this can only be understood through relationship. I can't be present and aware unless there's something to be present to and aware of. So even in our sense of separation, it serves as a gateway to truth, of the truth of unity and oneness. It's pretty cool, right? But so what? How does that make life better for me today? Well, once we begin to disidentify with the transient things that we think define who we are, such as our personalities, our likes, our dislikes, our thoughts, our egos, our beliefs, etc., then we can start to live in accordance with our true nature, our Buddha nature, God's will, the universe, or whatever spiritual dialect you choose to speak. St. Augustine said, "Love God and do what you will." He didn't mean anything we do is okay so long as we love God. Rather, that if we love God, what we want to do will be the right thing because we will naturally choose what is in accordance with God's will. But if you're not comfortable with this God speak, let me repeat that in a dialect that you might be more familiar with. Love your true nature and do what you will. I don't mean anything we do is okay so long as we love our true nature. Rather, that if we love our true nature, what we want to do will be the right thing, because we will naturally choose what is in accordance with our true nature. Lao Tzu echoes this same wisdom in the Tao Te Ching when he writes, "All things are in process, rising and returning. Plants blossom for a season, then return to the root. In returning to the root, we find tranquility. This leads to our own destiny, which is eternity. To know eternity is enlightenment. To ignore eternity is to invite calamity." So it is going back to this ground of being where we find our eternally true nature and find a way to live in accordance with that nature instead of fighting against it. And it is this we can find peace and meaning in our lives. So the message I'd like to leave with you tonight is, don't get discouraged if you haven't found your cardinal yet. Just keep searching like that little boy and trust your guide, even when you get frustrated. But don't mistake the guide for the truth, or you just might miss it. And just like the cardinal in the story, the truth will often find you when you need it the most. So thank you very much.